Well, hello and welcome to your Thursday Sean Ireland Show. Hope you're having a good day today. I'm feeling better. Got through my funk yesterday. I know that, in fact, Dr. Kaiser from Worthington Optimal Wellness will be mad at me when I say that I use these, but yesterday, to clear out my head, I used some decongestants. I gotta tell you, I was gorked on these things. I felt like spiders are running around the room. This room was spinning. I found myself sitting there in front of the television for a time because I couldn't get a thought in my head and realized that I had been watching a half-hour home improvement program about resurfacing my bathtub. And at that point, I thought, okay, these things are not for me. They are not for me. Coincidentally, though, and it was almost as though it was divine intervention, I flicked over to another channel, and on A&E, the show Intervention was on. And I watched a girl who was drinking homemade concoctions and was addicted to them. And I thought to myself, if this isn't a sign, I don't know what is. Girl, you got it. Put down the Alka-Seltzer Plus and walk away. And so today I am drug-free. I am clogged up. But I have a clear thought in my head, and I feel good about it. So thank you. I have kicked the Alka-Seltzer Plus habit that lasted one day. I can't take those things. I just cannot. So what else is going on in science? Well, we kind of have a little science-based show for you today. Apparently, there is another asteroid headed near the Earth. This one, colossal size, huge. And the good thing is they don't expect it to hit the Earth. The odd thing is they're excited it's coming so close that they can study it. Somehow, having an asteroid come so close that you get a good look at it, that doesn't excite me so much. But then again, I spent my day yesterday high on Alka-Seltzer Plus. So that's one of our little science stories. And two, apparently the freshman 15, the weight gain that came out yesterday, that is now a myth that doesn't really happen. Oh, I've got the Wrangler jeans that beg to differ. I do. They were pretty. So, although they say the average weight gain is about 3 pounds or so, 3 to 5. I'm telling you what, when I was a freshman, we got to drink something called 3-2 beer. Maybe that's why the kids aren't gaining as much weight. They don't legally get to drink 3-2 beer. And when we were freshmen, yes, we could do that. Between that and all the starchy stuff we ate at the Commons, yeah, weight gain was probably a little more common back then. Common in the Commons, I'll tell you that. However, that research, it was done at The Ohio State University. And I didn't see my pictures flashed anywhere on the news, so I was a little relieved about that. And in fact, they even said that a lot of the students, actually 25% of them, report weight loss when they go to college. I know Graham says he cannot wait to come home and eat a home-cooked meal. So it must be pretty bad if he's desperate to eat my cooking. So things have changed, apparently. Who knew? So that's our trip down science lane right there. What else do we have? Kind of science-y type things coming up today. We are going to talk about what happens when you cohabitate versus waiting to get married and living with somebody. And two, today, with the doctors at Columbus Aesthetic and Plastic Surgery, we are going to talk about something called Sculptra. Sculptra is a liquid facelift. Brand new. Interesting. And we'll hear all about that today. And today, too, a big reminder of two very fun things we're doing. The first one I want to talk about is our Make Me a Hottie for the Holidays. We are going to have a transformation makeover for you. How many times did you just wish that you could go into the holidays in the new year with a new look? Well, let us be the one to do it. We have on board Kenneth's Hair Salons and Day Spas. They are going to give you the consultation with the cut, the color, the mani, the pedi, everything to make you look amazing. We have Premier at Sawmill Athletic Club, who is going to get you in shape, let you deal with some people who are professionals there, and get you in some classes to work you out, and you get to bring a friend. How does that sound? Dr. Jim Hutta of Gahanna, one of my favorite orthodontists, is going to provide teeth whitening for you and some other services if need be and get your smile looking amazing. We have Broadway series tickets for you to see Mamma Mia, so you can, after your big reveal, go out on the town and feel awesome about yourself. We'll give you a pair of tickets to that. And we have wardrobe and makeup, too. So why wouldn't you want to be a part of this? How do you sign up? You need to call my phone, okay? You're going to leave a voicemail message on my phone, which is 614-423-4625. You call, you leave a message, and I'm going to take the top three messages that are left, and we'll narrow those down as our finalists, as for pictures, and at least by being a finalist, you'll get a pair of tickets to see Mamma Mia, just to enter, just for entering. Sounds good, huh? So get those phone calls in today. You have until November 11th to enter to win that transformation makeover. We'll have the video here on the website, and you'll be invited to join me live on my radio show to talk about everything you went through and how amazing you look, so we can follow it all along with pictures and video too. And the other thing for you to get entered in for is a chance to have an extreme money makeover. What is that? Well, Mike Kincaid from Ameriprise Financial Advisors, whom you hear here every Friday on Financial Friday, are giving away a money transformation for you, a chance for you to get your money in order, your finances in order, absolutely free, with a sit-down with Mike and Kay. How good would that feel to have financial freedom before you start the new year? At least have a game plan in mind. Mike and Kay are willing to do that for you. An extreme money makeover. If that sounds like something you want, you just need to email me. Sean@SeanIrelandShow.com is the email address, and just write financial freedom. It's that easy, and you'll be entered into the contest. And we'll announce a winner for that next week. And that is it. We're going to get the show rolling right now. Thank you for joining me on the Sean Ireland Show. And we kick off the show today with a discussion about, well, I guess we'll just call it shacking up. Good or bad? And we transition right into a topic I'm sure a lot of women and men both think about. Cohabitating with someone you love before you make that big commitment. Is it worth it? We talk about that today. And Kate Burdett joins me in the Sis Club Air Chairs. And joining me in the Sis Club Air Chairs, it's Kate Burdett. Hi.
Howdy.
Yeah, you recognize her name, her voice. Maybe you recognize Kate from many mugshots you may have seen time and again. But Kate's here, and we're chatting it up today because we're going to talk about cohabitation before marriage. Tisk, tisk, Kate, tisk.
Are you channeling my mother?
There are a lot of reasons not to live together before marriage, according to this article, which we'll see if you agree with some of these. Okay. Have you had this experience? Because I will tell you, some of this is based on research as we get through it.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And we'll see if whether or not this is just your own opinions or if you agree with some of these scientific researchers about this.
Okay.
All right. But first of all, your experience. Let's talk about you. Kate, would you like to lay down in this? Let's discuss.
First, top off my cocktail. Everybody pull up a chair. It's going to be a long one.
How many times have you found yourself in that cohabitation issue?
Just once.
Okay. So just one legitimate.
I've never been married. I've never been close.
Okay.
To that.
Really? You don't feel ever close?
Well,
obviously you were hopeful.
Let me put it this way. I thought I was closer than I actually was at times.
Okay. Yeah. That's
which is always fun. But my last relationship of note might have been moving in that direction, but definitely the cohabitation was for me, in hindsight, a very big indicator that it was not a good idea.
How soon did you know? Like immediate?
Nanoseconds.
Really?
Well, you know what? It was not for the right reasons. We had talked about the possible progression of the relationship.
Okay.
And, you know, things were going along. But again, I'm looking at it in hindsight going, why did I even put up with him for that long?
Right.
But then again, okay, in the moment, I thought, well, let's see if this goes anywhere. And so I had already thrown out the idea of, what do you think about maybe getting a place together?
Yeah.
We'd started talking about it. At the same time, there was a change in his employment status.
Oh.
And at the same time, his roommate, I want to say it was like there was a situation where he had a roommate that was getting engaged. So that was going to change. He was going to lose his crib anyway. So I thought, well, it just seems like the stars are lining up. Hey, I've got a two bedroom. We'll be a little cramped for a while, but move on in and we'll find a new place together.
Yeah.
In a perfect world. Mm-hmm. That was not where I was living.
Not where you were.
I was not living in that perfect world. Not at all.
Well, if you look at the contrarians who will say, obviously, for religious purposes, it's wrong. Mm. Or then there will be those that just think that it is not so much a moral thing, but it, you know, there's a progression.
Oh, it's, yeah.
Okay. So aside from those things, there's even statistics that back it up.
I know.
Yeah. Because there is a higher incidence of divorce in couples that have lived together before they got married.
And I'm curious, I always hear that, and I just wonder, is there a correlation they can draw for me? Is it because of this, it turns out this way?
Well, they say part of it is, it implies that there's a false permanence. There's a false sense of permanence that happens when you're playing house.
Okay.
Versus taking the actual steps to be a married couple. Okay. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And if you think about it, I mean, I think about the people that I've known, and I didn't go down that route, but I was engaged, so we kind of cohabitated a bit before we got married.
Okay.
But I would never do that with kids in the house, first of all. Could not,
that
would not,
be,
should not.
Yeah,
that's
I feel
my
the same
feeling
way
about
with
it.
Kids.
Yeah. That just adds a dimension. But it doesn't mean you don't sprinkle around.
Well, listen, with my dog, she's like my child.
Yeah.
I make no bones about it. And I'm very protective of her. I totally am.
Yeah. So that's, I can totally see how it just, it's the stupid adage, why give away the milk? Or what is that?
Why is he going to buy the milk when he's getting it for free?
That's right. Or something about the cows in there too.
Why is he buying the cow when he can get the milk for free? That's what I meant.
That's
well, but
right.
Here's the thing. Maybe I'm the contrarian then when I hear all of those arguments, because I say, well, what about the element of surprise? The unpleasant surprise is when suddenly you've got the ring on your finger, the rice has been thrown and the papers are signed. And then you go, oh my God, really? You really do live this way?
You don't think you'd know that though.
I don't know.
You don't think you would, really? You think you could be with, well, here's how you could be with somebody. If you're with somebody who traveled a lot, or if you're with somebody who, because you do have kids, you don't spend that much time together.
Right.
You know, and then you do get married, whatever. I could see that element of surprise. If you're someone who is so joined at the hip, I don't see how in the world you couldn't know what you're getting into.
In my particular circumstance.
Right.
Now, again, I was not living in perfect world. It was, like I said, there were mitigating circumstances that led up to this, but I went from, hey, he could be the one, we could be building a future, to why is this jackass living in my apartment, sitting on my couch all day? Playing online poker, not paying rent or utilities. I'm working 80 hours a week.
Yeah.
And when I say, hey, you want to pitch in for this electric bill? He says, sorry, I'm unemployed.
Ouch.
That was the world I lived in. So that was how I spent a month cohabitating and then said, I'm sorry, this won't be working.
No. Uh-uh.
Yeah. Yeah, that was neat. But again, kind of an unexpected surprise. And it wasn't, yes, those were circumstances, but all in all, like looking back on the entire situation, it was an important learning experience for me to see that and to have that kind of intense exposure where we were living in a space I could not escape. Mm-hmm. I could not make him go home because that was home.
Yeah, that's bad.
And it was sort of like, okay, I'm sort of learning things about you that you were able to hide from me before.
Yeah, I can see
so
that.
So that's when I become a proponent of, you know, getting the milk, getting a milk sample before you invest in Bessie.
At least one of those little pint-sized things we used to get in school.
I'm just saying.
Didn't have to be a lot of milk. Just a, you know, lunchtime milk.
The views expressed on the Shawn Ireland Show are not exactly those of the host, okay? That's
exactly.
Just Kate Burdett. Copyright Kate Burdett, 2011.
Here's one, they say that one of the reasons not to live together before you get married is okay. because it may lead couples to get married for all the wrong reasons. All right.
Amen.
Here we go. Researchers at the University of Denver, they postulated this in a 2009 study that perhaps some couples do tend to live together before even getting engaged. What happens, though, after the fact? They end up getting married for the wrong reasons, such as, according to this, we think that some couples who move in together without a clear commitment in marriage end up sliding into marriage because they're already cohabitating, and it just is that next, you know, obvious step to them.
Or, you know, you've got the mother or the grandmother pressuring, or sure.
Yeah. And these circumstantial reasons for marriage cloud the logical evaluation of what's really going on at the time.
That's a good point.
Yeah. That one makes perfect sense. And then there is, it blurs the boundaries between marriage and a relationship.
Well, and I'm a big believer in that because I do respect the institution of marriage. Yeah. As contemporary as I believe I am and as progressive and whatever, I do, I'm a big believer. And when I hear of people being unfaithful in their marriage, I get very kind of, you know, that gets my dander up because I really, I, as someone who at the age of 37, almost 38, has never even been close to the altar, would like to believe in that fairy tale that someday I could still have that. And I see a few examples out there that I say, look, they've got it. They're doing it right. So yeah, come on, let's do it right, people.
Yeah, because I think one of the things that would be odd for me, now granted, my second go round would, it's hard for me to envision how that would look. But I remember, I mean, the first go round just seemed like it was a natural progression. There was the courting that went on for a period of time. There was the, we both kind of know where this is going thing. And then there was the engagement. And then there was the excitement in the process of planning the wedding. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, and then it was just a natural thing. So it all planned out that way.
Okay, so let me ask you this. When you say it seemed like a natural progression, do you look back on any of those moments and go, but I was so excited that it was going to happen?
That I was going to get married?
Yeah.
I think I totally looked at it that way.
At the time, in that
moment.
Because
you know what? I felt like, yeah, I was doing everything per social mores, which I don't think I thought of it that way, but it's the only way I knew how to do it because that's the way everybody around me did it. Mm. You know, you take that step and you do it that way. But it would not have made a difference in my life to have lived with my ex-husband. It would not have made a difference because I, you know, it wasn't.
You knew everything going in. When
you
slipped that ring on your finger, you knew.
In our relationship that we had issues that were things we never could have, you know, foreseen.
Sure.
But yeah, I don't think it would have changed. And I know my parents are very old school in that regard and traditional. And so I wanted to do things that way, that way anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I think what would have made it difficult for me is I don't know if it would have been as special for me to be engaged and living with someone. Does that make sense?
It does to me.
Yeah.
It totally does. Well, it's sort of the same as, you know, in a very sort of materialistic sense. If you're living together and you've combined your households already, what's the point of, you know, going to Bed Bath & Beyond and registering for gifts?
Doesn't that seem weird?
I mean,
and sometimes I come up against that with couples that have lived together. And they say we're registered here at like Target.
Why?
Yeah. It's like, can I just cut you a check? Because seriously, you don't need anything at Target that I couldn't buy at Target for myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, gonna get, what are you going to take my gift card and go get yourself some cereal? I don't know.
It's
cereal
not...
and some pantyhose. You're not filling your house with goods.
And it's not the old days where she comes with her trunk, with her trousseau and her dowry. And
no,
you
it's
know.
Not. It's kind of sad. Isn't it kind
of
sad?
I mean, I have a set of china that I'm ready to move into someone's hutch. Gentlemen, are you paying attention? Ladies, tell your older brothers.
I think that was a veiled dirty word. She just said that.
Yes, that was a metaphor.
Her china is ready for your hutch, man.
I declare.
All right, here's another one. Though we talked about the, it implies that false sense of permanence, which I do agree with that one. And if you're trying to decide whether cohabitation before marriage is right for you, then you certainly have a big decision, obviously. But choosing to live apart may go against economically what is easy for people right now. Because that is where I think a lot of this has been predetermined for people. You probably are making decisions based on economy more so than ever before.
which I would never want that to be a factor ever.
It's easy to do though.
Well, hey, hello, I was right there.
Yeah. But I think about how people are able to live very far apart. Could you be an army wife, or could you be with somebody who traveled all the time? Could you do that?
With a commitment.
Okay.
Yes.
I guess we'll back it up. If you're with somebody who happened to be a pilot or someone who is a salesman Monday through Thursday.
And by with, you mean married too.
No, not quite. Okay. Say you're dating someone very seriously.
I was there.
Okay. They were gone during the week or whatever?
I moved away for a job. Oh. I moved 8 hours away for a job.
How did that affect the relationship?
He dumped me over the phone seven years ago. I never saw him again.
Ow. Yeah.
He broke my heart. Well, no. But
some people are hardwired and able to do that. And right. Able to live with someone very trustworthy and do all that. I don't think I could do that because I need the intimacy and the immediacy of somebody.
That was a major turning point for me, and where I thought, well, okay, this is the nature of the beast, being in the business I was in. We were both in the same business.
Right.
And so he was going to work on getting to the market where I had moved, and that was that. And it didn't happen. But the point is, I, as much as I thought I was able to handle it, you're right. It's immediacy. It's having that person to put their arms around you at the end of a hard day, or to be at your side when you need a plus one.
Yeah.
What's the point otherwise?
Yeah.
Whether it's temporary or permanent, I am amazed. I'm amazed by couples who have that arrangement. You know, he works in one city, I work in the other. It's kind of necessity, but we like it. It works. Do you really have a marriage? Or do you have a business arrangement?
I don't know. I mean, see, I know my mom raised basically four girls stair-stepped apart. We were all less than 2 years apart.
Wow.
Raised us that way while my dad left on Sundays and came back on Thursdays.
Wow.
Yeah. And he did that for many, many years. Not always, but for many, many years during the duration of the crazy times with little kids. He was gone.
Wow.
Yeah. So I wonder how she ever survived that. I wonder how we ever survived her during that.
But you did.
Yeah,
but
we did. No, but I respected the fact that, yeah.
Well, she didn't know any different. And there are those families. I mean, my buddy Rob, who has been here with me, he comes from a military family, and his mom tells stories about raising Rob and his sister while dad was out at sea with the Navy.
Yeah.
And, you know, back in the days when there was not Skype or email, like she tells the story of going through a serious illness. She had cancer. The Navy was supposed to have informed him out on the ship. He never knew till he docked.
Oh, my goodness.
And it wasn't nothing against the military. It was a paperwork problem.
Yeah.
But the point is, they survived it.
Yeah.
But she had two school-aged children at home. I mean, can you imagine?
No.
Not just the stress of an illness, the stress of raising two small children, but all of that plus no... Again, I go to that imagery of just those strong arms to surround you in that moment of need.
Wow.
She's an amazing woman,
that lady.
Right? Right?
Wow.
And but I mean, those stories are all over the place, especially now with our military being stretched as thin as it is. And that's a whole other, I mean, that's probably a whole other show right there. But the long distance marriage relationship, whatever, they come in all shapes and sizes and... Mm-hmm. Wow. I
am going to do a show on military wives because I have a couple Sys Club members. In fact, they came up to me at the slumber party to talk about that.
Oh, I would love to hear that show.
I so want to hear about what that side of life is like.
They're a very, very special breed because, interestingly enough, Rob's sister married a military man as well.
Yeah.
And the most important, and they've been stationed all over the world. And you know, the biggest, strongest message I've gotten is a very special woman who is married to, or a special man who's married to a military woman, either way. A military spouse that stays home and raises the family, they have to understand, and I never really thought about this, that they don't get to come first.
Yeah.
The country comes first.
Isn't that something?
And for someone to be mindful of that and to enter into a marriage, knowing that, I don't know if I could do it.
I don't either.
That's really, really significant.
Yeah, I think that my
people.
Length of a string of... celibacy has taught me that I come first.
Amen, sister.
And with that, we're thumbs down on cohabitating, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Just... If you like it, then you should have put a ring on it.
There you go. And that's Kate Burdett. Well, channeling Beyonce.
You got it.
Thank you, girl. Well, maybe some people like to cohabitate just to save face when it comes to a relationship. Who knows? But ready? Wait for it. How's this for a transition? What about that face of yours? Could it be time for something new? Something called Sculptra? And it's our chance to visit with the great doctors at Columbus Aesthetic and Plastic Surgery. And Dr. Susan Vasco is with us today. And I'm excited to hear about this new procedure. I guess it's more of a product, really. It's Sculptra. So tell us what this is. I've heard some buzz about it.
Well, Sculptra has actually been around for several years for non-cosmetic reasons, but was recently approved for cosmetic use for probably more like adding volume to the face. It's a collagen stimulator, so it's good for areas that are starting to lose fullness because of age, and it's a way to stimulate collagen production to make the face look more youthful and not so gaunt, so to speak.
Quit staring at me. Every time I meet with one of your doctors, I'm very insecure after the fact. So, as you're looking at me, or you're looking at a patient, where would those areas typically be?
Well, it changes a little bit depending on age, but say if I saw someone that was maybe in their 60s or 70s, a lot of those areas are going to include the outside portion of the forehead, the cheek fat pad that has lost its fullness, trying to rebuild that, along the jawline, at the jaw area, maybe the chin crease, the nasolabial folds. So it actually ends up being, unlike fillers where you're just filling a wrinkle, this is more of a total face volumizing type process.
Is this a procedure that is permanent then?
It lasts about 2 years. Now, the usual protocol is to do about three sessions, spaced maybe about 5 weeks apart. So you do a series of injections at session one, takes about maybe half an hour. At first you look great because there's all that product and saline and local anesthetic in there. And then it actually kind of absorbs at first and then starts building back up. So at 5-6 weeks, come back, do a second session, repeat, third session. And then once the third session is done, you can expect the effect to last about 2 years.
Interesting. Now, you had said that this was something that was used years ago or had been used, but it's just only been recently more of a cosmetic thing. So what was it used for? Reconstruction purposes? Or
Probably the most common indication were in HIV-positive patients that were on medication and had a lot of facial wasting, so a lot of loss of the fat and the soft tissues of the face were common with some of the viral medications. And so the first indication was for that indication, and then recently it was approved for cosmetic use.
Oh, that's fascinating. Yeah, because you think of that gaunt look that the HIV patients had to go through. Mm-hmm. Now, when we're using this, okay, you're using it obviously for extreme or more prominent areas than you would with a Juvederm or a Restylane or whatever.
It again, kind of depends a little bit on the age group. I think for, you know, what's been kind of fun in the past several years in plastic surgery are the ways to sort of correct little changes that people are seeing that maybe aren't severe enough to undergo surgery, but maybe a little bit of jowling, a little bit of flatness of the fullness in the cheeks, things like that, that maybe someone in their 40s may come in and, you know, initially all we had in our armamentarium were the fillers and surgical options, and this is a way to sort of correct those early signs and give a more youthful face without having to undergo surgery.
Since it's an injectable, correct?
Yes, it is. Okay.
And it has to be a little bit thicker serum, possibly? Is there some pain associated with that?
Well, the this actually is diluted a fair amount, so it's not like a thick filler that you're just injecting in. It actually is diluted into moldable syringes, and so it goes in fairly thin, and it's mixed with local anesthetic, so it numbs as it goes.
Okay. Now, if you are going to examine somebody and they're bothered by their jowling, and I know as women get into their middle age, you begin to see mm-hmm. your face is taking on a rectangular shape yeah. that it never had. So if you're looking at a woman and she wants that done, what is the procedure then? You go just directly into the neck, and it's just along the jawline?
It goes right along the jawline, so it would go along the lower portion of the jaw itself, and then in that kind of depressed area right in front of the jowl to fill that out.
Can you give me a ballpark what people would be talking in the way of how expensive this might be?
I would say by the time they're finished three sessions, they're probably looking at somewhere in the $6,000 to $7,500 range.
But we're talking 2 years.
Yes, we are.
So that in itself, I mean, you would spend that on multiple visits to just try to put those, as I say, those tire patches on otherwise.
Right. If you think of having a couple syringes of a filler done maybe every 9 months, then, you know, in a way, it's equivalent in cost, but it's doing something different. It's actually adding a lot of volume to the entire face itself, so it can correct, say, the lines in the nasolabial folds and other areas at the same time for, you know, essentially the same price if you budget it out over 2 years.
Right. I love the fact that it had a medical application and now it has a cosmetic application.
Yes, because it shows that it's been around a long time. It's not something that's, you know, just new on the market for everybody. It's actually has a really good track record.
Well, it sounds great. Sculptura is what we were talking about today with Dr. Susan Vasco. If you have other questions, make sure you contact Columbus Aesthetic and Plastic Surgery, and you can discuss this further with her at any given time, and we'll be talking with you more and talking about other procedures as we go, because I know you have quite a few in your dossier.
Okay, thank you, Sean.
And that is going to do it. That's Thursday's Sean Ireland Show. Get those entries in, everybody. Don't forget, we've got a couple big things going on. Make me a hottie for the holidays. Your total transformation. You're going to look amazing. Make sure you read about it here on the homepage and get entered today. And two, how about your finances? Would you like a fix-up? We can do that. We'll give you financial freedom with the help of Mike and Kay and an extreme money makeover. For that, you just email me, Sean@SeanIrelandShow.com, with the words financial freedom. That's it. Be looking for all the information in an email coming your way. Make sure you're on my email list as well. Have yourself a terrific day, and I'll see you back here tomorrow on the Sean Ireland Show.